Good afternoon. Welcome in WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, and you. Nice to have you with us here today. On a, well, cold and crummy kind of Monday. It was a cold and crummy kind of weekend, and honestly, a weekend of some really bad football. The Patriots not there. You got a good look at the rest of the NFL. And not super impressed, I got to say. I was not very impressed, especially the early slate of games. We'll get to all of this. We got a lot to get to today here on a Patriots Monday. Jacoby Brissett will be joining the show at some point. We're not at Gillette today. We're not in the beautiful Gillette studios. We're back here in this dump we call home. We'll be talking with them on the phone along with Jonathan Jones. Don't exactly have a time nailed down yet, but we will be talking with both of them at some point today. We got a lot more to get to. Let's go ahead and start with how was your weekend, Andy? How you doing?
As far as rainy weekends go, kind of dreary weekends go, it wasn't bad. Enjoyed whatever it was that I watched yesterday of football. Did the whole, like, beer and wings and, you know, enjoyed the day. And at some point realized, well, this is kind of overrated because this kind of stinks right now. Like, if you're one of those people that bought Sunday ticket or something for whatever that was, $700, yesterday's a day I got to think you regret that purchase.
Buyer's remorse. You want a refund.
Yeah. Because that was...
Like when you pay for a boxing match and it's over in the first round.
Yes.
You're like, what the hell am I...
100%.
What was that about?
The difference is, at least this, I think we've been through this over the years, and generally by mid and later part of the season, you settle in and you feel like, oh, good football.
Right.
Because Tom Brady was bitching about this last year, bad football, when he was just a fan watching, preparing for his own questionable broadcast skills for Fox. And I just, there's not a lot of great quarterbacks. There's not a lot of great teams. Even the great team didn't look so great. They just win. It's kind of win ugly, keep the ball moving forward, keep rolling. So, yeah, it was, but I enjoyed it. Yeah, wings. I had wings.
Wings sound good.
Wings and beer.
Let me tell you what my Sunday was like. On Sunday, I came down here. We did an hour and a half worth of the hottest NFL Sunday programming you could possibly want.
Nice.
Mego, her Comrex was broken, so she sounded like she was coming to us from a seashell. So we had to cut her loose.
Oh, good.
And it was just me and Shine. We talked to Fitzy. We didn't get to you because we had to leave at 11:30. I come home, and I got an hour before the game starts. Now, in my backyard, I have one tree. It's an oak tree. And this year, for some reason, it has dropped more acorns on my yard and on my house and on my deck. I've never seen it. There's 1,000 acorns fall out of this tree a day. And I've got wheelbarrows full of acorns. So I'm out there, and I got this little device that sucks up the acorns, and I'm dumping them into the wheelbarrow, because if I dump them out, you know, back, they're just going to grow a bunch of oak trees, and I can't have that, obviously. And I just spent the entire hour doing that. And I was annoyed. They're falling down on me as I'm doing it. I've never seen anything like this with these acorns. If anyone knows what this is all about, how a tree can suddenly, after 3 years, just start pummeling you with acorns all throughout the fall, I've honestly never seen anything like this in my life. It's the most acorns there's ever been. And so I'm out there and I'm getting them. I'm trying to get it done. I walk inside. In the 1 p.m. window yesterday, you had Danny Dimes versus Deshaun Watson. You had Malik Willis versus Will Levis. You had Caleb Williams and Anthony Richardson. This is what I came at after getting pummeled with acorns. This is what I come in to watch. That was maybe one of the worst slates of quarterback play I've ever seen in a daytime or day part of NFL Sunday. It was as bad as I've ever seen. It was as sloppy as I've ever seen. And I'm watching it, and I started to think, well, maybe the Patriots aren't so bad. But as the games went on, I realized, oh, no. Oh, no, they're worse. The Patriots are worse than this. This is bad. What we're watching right now, this is bad football. We are watching some bad quarterback play, some bad teams, teams that are 0-3 now. Tennessee hasn't won a game yet. Richardson stinks. Williams stinks. Malik Willis isn't even supposed to be playing. We're watching all of this, and your situation's worse right now. The Patriots are what they're putting out there, the product they're putting out, was worse than what I saw yesterday. I did not feel better at all. I felt bad about the NFL, but it didn't make me feel any better about the Patriots at all.
Well, I think it's funny because the way you started, you said the Patriots weren't involved in the bad football. Well, they kind of kicked off the bad football.
That's true.
Thursday night.
That's a very good
Thursday
point,
night
yeah.
is the start of week three, and they got the bad football rolling for our eyes to see, and we had to watch it in primetime. No, it was not good. And you're also... The more primetime games you get, if the NFL does its job, definitely you end up with Sunday at 1 sucking, right?
Yeah.
Because the 4 o'clock game is the best game of Sunday, then the Sunday night, the Monday night. If you got 2 Monday nights this week, you had a primetime Thursday night game, it's kind of going to be that way. And I wonder if that will be reflected in ratings at some point, where people will be like, well, I can actually get stuff done on Sunday. be back in time for the 4 o'clock game, a game like Baltimore and the Cowboys, then watch Sunday night football. I wonder if that will change viewing at some point, because you're right, there were bad quarterbacks, bad lines, and even some of them, you look at it like the Giants.
Yeah.
Well, Daniel Jones actually played pretty well, in large part because Malik Nabers played pretty well.
Right.
And that's something where you go, well, Patriots don't have one of those.
No, right they now. Don't. And they're picking up something there, maybe. I mean, that could be, yep. that could end up being something, maybe not. Nabers, after the first week, was already chirping, right? I mean, he's another one of these guys that expects to get the ball right away. And it seems like he probably should, because there's no one else on that team. But yeah, I mean, that ended up being like a close competitive game, but it was ugly. And that's sort of the point. All these games yesterday were either blowouts or sloppy messes of games that ended up being close at the end because someone's got to win them. Like that Eagles Saints game. Holy moly.
Yeah, there was a lot in there.
That game was brutal.
Yeah, it was.
Like, there was real. I mean, the Bears and the Colts, that was some of the worst football I've ever seen at the NFL level, like in my life. And, you know, we were all around in the 80s and 90s. It was a different game back then, but that past weekend, that was brutal. The highest scoring game of the week so far, there's two more games tonight. Highest scoring game of the week so far was quarterbacked by Andy Dalton and Gardner Minshew.
Hmm.
Those were the two quarterbacks.
What's that tell you?
In the highest scoring game of the week. I don't know what that tells me exactly. Number one, that Bryce Young shouldn't be in the league. I mean, if Andy Dalton can go out there and give you anything against the team to beat the Ravens, then Bryce Young, I mean, that was a mistake. It was a mistake to draft him. He wasn't ready. Bust of a QB, bust of a pick. And Gardner Minshew, I don't know. I mean, the Panthers have a bad defense, I guess is what it tells me. In summation, like it's two bad defenses and offenses that ended up getting a good matchup. But how about this? The following quarterbacks all produced less than 20 points this week. C.J. Stroud, Kirk Cousins, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr, and Jalen Hurts. All of those QBs gave you less than 20 points. NFL Red Zone, it was as miserable as I've ever experienced watching NFL Red Zone.
It was.
They jumped to another game. I was like, no. No, please. I can't watch any more Anthony Richardson. Don't please jump away from this game. They jump away to it, and here's Deshaun Watson running around. I can't watch this either. It was awful. It was honestly awful. Watching NFL Red Zone was like torture yesterday.
And it's all because two high safeties, according to Mel
exactly.
Piper,
that's right? It.
You got to take away the two high safeties. No, I mean, there's a lot of reasons for it. I think there's some bad quarterbacks playing. I actually go the other way. I think the offensive line play might be as bad as it's ever been, and this is totally anecdotal, but I think the lack of offensive linemen, I think you're going to see this continue to be a problem because I think the development of football is not about offensive linemen. It's about receivers and quarterbacks and 7-on-7 teams in the summer,
yeah.
And these guys just sit home, and then all of a sudden in August and September you realize, oh, we kind of need those guys, and I just there's not enough of them. I think the fat kids don't play high school football anymore. Yeah. The fat kids don't want to run around, and I don't blame them. If I'm a fat kid and I can play video games and eat, or I can go get yelled at by some coach and tells me to run, why the hell am I going to do that? I'm not going to make it to the NFL. So I think the pool from which you're pulling offensive linemen, and it's not a sexy story. It's much more, you know, much better to say, oh, there's no quarterbacks to go around.
Right.
Because that's the marquee position. There's not enough linemen to go around, and nobody knows that better than Elliot P. Wolf.
Seriously.
I don't know if P is his middle name, but it felt
I don't
right.
either, but that sounds right. And, Jacoby Brissett, I think, probably knows it pretty well, too.
Yeah, that's true.
If he's
still
any,
feeling it.
If he's got any memory left. I mean, it's just, I mean, he's getting crushed out there. And you saw it. I mean, you saw a bad QB play. You saw a bad line play. In general, I think it's a sloppy product so far through 3 weeks in the NFL this year. And the only two games that I thought were even partially watchable was Niners-Rams. That was a good game.
Yep.
And Ravens-Cowboys ended up being a good game at the end there because Dallas came back in the end. But even that one in the beginning was an ugly, crappy game.
It was a blowout.
And then you're watching it. It's like, ugh.
Ravens do what Ravens do, apparently, which is try to blow leads. They blew a lead against the Raiders, and then they tried to blow one against the Cowboys. But now, even those I don't think were good football. And this is where I do go to Tom Brady's side a little bit, and I do wonder, have offenses been dumbed down? Mm. Do they not have enough tools in their toolbox to deal with, God forbid, cover two looks on defense? Like, is it a coincidence that Geno Smith and Aaron Rodgers and like veteran quarterbacks, Andy Dalton has clearly seen everything. He's not the most talented guy in the league, but he's taken teams to playoffs forever with Cincy. He's been around. Is it a coincidence that the guys with the most experience are playing the best football and it looks like it's harder and harder for these young guys to develop? And then some of the younger guys that do succeed, often just succeed on pure athleticism. Yeah. I'm going to have to run now, or I'm going to throw on the run and make a throw that is probably a 1 in 10 chance. But if I hit the one, people will be like, ooh, did you see that Justin Fields throw? Yeah, I've also seen him screw up. Like, that's the revisionist history I love.
Yeah.
Suddenly the Bears screwed up because they got rid of Justin Fields. How long were they supposed to wait to see if he was good?
Good point. And
right?
Also, like, you know, I mean, there was it's a different team there in Pittsburgh around him for
yes.
sure. And that's not a team that's winning because of
How
Justin
Fields.
How
about Mike Fields. Tomlin?
That guy,
I've always been hesitant
he's
to anoint him.
I'll give it to him.
But he's got to be a great coach, right? I've always been hesitant to put him in the great coach conversation. But do you just luck into NFL wins year after year after year, or are you pretty damn good at coaching?
At least a winning season every year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not, like you can't, that doesn't just happen. Yeah,
no, with
I
different
agree.
Quarterbacks, different defenses, different everything.
All-time great coaches haven't done that.
Right.
Yeah,
so
that's unique. I
think
agree.
He is, I have not properly evaluated Mike Tomlin over the years.
Yeah, maybe not. Well, despite all of this, despite it being such a bad week, I still think the Patriots offense statistically was the worst. The Patriots and the Dolphins were the two teams that only scored 3 points, and the Dolphins were starting Skylar Thompson with Tim Boyle, who the hell was that? Olive oil back there. I've never seen him or heard of him before. He comes in for Skylar Thompson. Patriots had their starting quarterback, their starting running back, starting tight end, all their starting wide receivers. Offensive line's a little banged up, but fine. Those starters suck as much as the backups do anyway. And that's why it made me feel worse, you know, for them to stand out on a week like this. For the Patriots to stand out as bad offensively on a week like this is crushing. Like that honestly, like that makes it much worse to me. And the defense sucks too, by the way. But like the offense standing out for being so futile, for being so just completely dysfunctional, like unable to do anything, that in a week like this, that hurts more. I still think that I heard other people say, well, you know, if you look at it, maybe these other teams aren't so good. Patriots could get a couple surprise wins. Maybe they could, but that's not necessarily going to make me feel any better about what this team is and where they're going and what they hope to build over the year. You know, I just feel like they're way, way underwater here.
Does it make you feel any better that through 3 games, the Dolphins have scored 6 fewer points than your Patriots?
No.
Why not?
Because one of them was a Skylar Thompson, Tim Boyle game.
Yeah. You don't have a starting quarterback
either.
One, you're in that world of Skylar Thompson's and Tim Boyle.
Tua got knocked out of the other game. So, like, I don't know. I mean.
Yeah. You don't have a quarterback either.
It's true.
They at least had a starting quarterback for 1 week and 2 of the top 10 receivers in the NFL.
They still have that.
Right.
And they'll get another quarterback is
so
the thing.
So, their line is better than yours.
Yeah.
Their receivers are better than yours. And you both have not worthy starting quarterbacks right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's a similarity.
And that's a bad...
And they have the offensive coach that everybody thinks is the coolest dude ever.
Right.
We have Alex Van Pelt, who's still trying to find his way. That didn't
uncool.
Mean a shot, but he's not very cool.
He's not
he wears dad jeans.
Not really a cool guy. I mean, he doesn't... Not like
I don't
the
think
modern,
he wants
in
to
the
be.
Modern sense of
I don't
cool,
think he wants
I guess.
To be.
Yeah, right. He's just...
He's comfortable with who he is.
An old football guy.
He's a 50-something
right.
dad jean-wearing football guy.
Right.
And that's fine. He's our guy.
Save the clip there. It's a good promo for the show.
He's our guy. And
yeah.
I like that. I also want to get into him later because I think he's the guy that needs to be convinced that it's time to play Drake May. I know we're going to talk a lot about that today.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Jerod Mayo wants to play Drake May sooner, and I think Alex Van Pelt is the one that's going to hold off as long as possible because he's the true quarterback developer. And I think Alex Van Pelt probably looks around what happened this weekend and some of the crappy QB play and says, see? We're not throwing my guy to the wolves.
Right.
My career's on the line. I'm the quarterback developer. I'm the quarterback whisperer here. They're going to put this on me. And he's not ready yet. We're waiting a little longer. Hopefully till next week against the Dolphins.
That would be nice. Or it sounds like it's not going to be happening this weekend, according to Jerod Mayo this morning. And I don't know if he spoke to the media today. I didn't catch it, but I don't know if he reaffirmed that or not. But he said, no, it's going to be Brissett this weekend. And as you heard there with Curtis, he said, Jacoby Brissett stayed up all night. I could not sleep. I was haunted by this loss, tortured by this loss. Stayed up all night watching film, and I still think Brissett's the better quarterback. And it's like, all right.
Well, no, he didn't say that.
He said he gives us a better chance to
yes,
win.
Careful. Fine. Careful. Let's the particular words matter in this instance.
It's kind of the same thing, I think.
No, because I think he's told us all along.
Give us a chance to win.
The better quarterback is Drake May.
Right.
He won the competition. So he's the better quarterback. That
Which, ipso facto, would make you a better chance to win the game if a better quarterback's playing.
Not if he turns the ball over. Not if he.
Well, then he's not a better quarterback, is he?
Will Levis's numbers would have actually told you that he was a pretty good quarterback this weekend. I want to go back and get those. It's the turnovers and the, as his coach likes to put it, WTF plays
mm-hmm.
that really screw Will Levis and make him, I think what he is kind of as a quarterback and what he probably will never develop into. Where the hell?
Is 26 to 34, 260 yards, two touchdowns, two picks.
Yeah. Like, stop before you say the two picks.
Right.
Right? Those are good numbers.
Still had two touchdowns.
No, but those are good numbers.
Brissett has one on the season.
Well, he is what he is. He's been a journeyman fill-in this entire time.
That's why I don't think he gives you the best chance to win. That's why I'm comparing him to Will Levis. I'm telling you, that's why I don't think he gives you the best chance to win.
Also, I don't think Gerard is being honest. I think if he was being honest, I think he would say Jacoby Brissett gives us the best chance to not lose. I actually don't think he gives you the best chance to win.
The best chance to not lose.
You might be able to argue, because even when you sucked, you lost 24-3. You were not, like, blown out in that game in a way that you could have been if that quarterback
felt like a blowout.
Turned the ball over three times.
Felt like a blowout. Felt like it was worse than that.
But a lot of quarterbacks in that situation, doesn't that turn into, like, a multi-turnover quarterback performance because they start trying to make plays and do the things they needed to do to come back? Like, Will Levis turns it over. My guess is Drake May. If Drake May played the totality of that game and it played out similarly and you're trailing 21-3, I bet you Drake May's first throw he threw into double coverage. It should have been a pick. Like, he's going to try to, and he has no experience, which is even worse, so he's.
But when you're down 21-3, I don't mind if that happens. If you're down 21-3 and you're going out there slinging it and it gets picked off, oh well.
If he throws
How
three
else
picks,
are you supposed to get back in the game?
If he throws three picks, you're not holding that against him?
I mean, yeah,
you're ripping him on the radio.
Of course I will. Rip him on the radio. If he throws three interceptions,
okay.
I'll rip anybody who does that. But you still
can't
have to
rip
go
Jacoby.
Out there. You still have to go out there and throw the ball.
Right, but you can't rip Jacoby. He hasn't done that. He threw one pick this year.
So it's better not to try. This is what you're saying.
Well, that's what they're going with, I believe. I firmly believe they've been going with that all year.
He
gives us the best chance to not lose.
This may sound controversial. I don't like that.
I don't think anybody likes it.
I don't like the idea of we're not going to try. I'd rather just not try than turn the ball over when you're down 21-3 or 24-3 in the fourth quarter. Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And by the way, he did get the ball in the fourth quarter, down 24-3. He had that one bad pass, but then he started moving the ball. He got in the field goal range. They were in the red zone, and if they kept going, if the clock didn't run out, they probably score there. But whatever. I mean, that's
as meaningless as the picks.
I guess.
Right? Like, you might feel better about it. Like, oh, he led a scoring drive. Is it meaningful? Are the Jets even trying? Do the Jets care? Those guys are out there like, we're running clock. We're almost done here.
Well,
can we go
could
home?
Could Brissett have done it?
Could he? Sure. Is it likely? No.
Brissett's one scoring drive. They had two penalties in that scoring drive. I mean, come on. Like, they would have gotten shut out if not for those two flags. That's really
probably
what it was about. So, no, I don't think Brissett could have gone on a scoring drive there. And I think May was in the middle of one. And you're right, it was garbage time. And garbage time's tough to judge everything against. But at some point, you know, you got to see this for what it is and understand that you can't sell this. I mean, this is not something people are going to pay to come watch.
Well, and that's part of the issue is they were playing the guy who gives us the best chance to not lose, and they didn't lose the first game. They won it.
Mm-hmm.
They lost the second game, but it was winnable, right? And they kind of kicked it away late, literally and figuratively. And then the third game, they got smoked. And if in the fourth game you get smoked, well, now you probably have to reassess the plan at a natural place of four games. Like, I know the NFL is no longer in quarters because they throw that damn extra game on there.
Right.
But I still think in a lot of ways people look at it as 4 and 4 and 4 and 4. Like, where are you at the four-game mark? Where are you at the eight-game mark? At the four-game mark, you're going in the wrong direction. You have no offense. You can't move the ball through the air. And you have a young guy that didn't crap his pants when you put him on the field. So that's where you start to say, well, maybe this whole not lose things isn't working. Maybe we actually have to try to win. Maybe it is 2024. And I don't care that passing numbers are down. You still need to make plays through the air to win football games. And that's why week 5 against the Dolphins, everybody at Gillette Stadium, if you got tickets, not that I'm looking past the Niners, because I think you'll see Drake May late. I'm looking past the Niners, too. If you have tickets for that Miami Dolphins game at Gillette Stadium, I think you're going to see the debut of one Drake May, and I think you should be excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's the one thing to be excited about this season. If you want to be excited about anything, that's it, and that's probably it for the whole year. So enjoy it and hold on tight if you got tickets to that game. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got a lot to get to here. We will have a sniff test. Are these good quarterbacks? Are the good quarterbacks in the NFL right now? And I use that term loosely. Do they pass the sniff test? Also, there is a team in the NFL that I believe right now is kind of the bizarro Patriots, and they had a very, very interesting week. We'll get to that. We actually mentioned them a second ago, but we'll get to that as well, and we'll talk with you at 617-779-7937. First, here's Stiz to tell you what's trending.